We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is a Locker Room production.
Good old Locker Room, Matt. See, you'll jump in here. Anybody wants to talk, Sal, you're the only one in the room. You know where to click, bottom right-hand corner on that microphone. If not, you can just hear me extemporize, pontificate on things next to this ping-pong table that I'm standing next to currently at this moment in northern New Jersey. And we're just waiting on Mr. Dan. Oh, there's Dan right there. He's going to request to speak. I'm going to hit accept, and then he's going to speak. What's going on, Dan?
What is going on, everybody?
How you doing, bro?
How you doing?
I'm chilling, man. Chilling. Just telling everybody how I'm chilling in North Jersey, standing next to a ping pong table. How about yourself?
I am chilling, and actually, at this time, so if I am a little bit distracted, everybody, it's for a good cause, for work. I am competing in a Superflex mock draft, industry mock draft that will go live on the CBS Sports Fantasy website. And so I have to pay attention a little bit to that, but I'm also here to talk about Giants minicamp and everything going on there. How's everybody doing tonight? It looks like we got a lot of people in here, actually.
Yeah, people are jumping in right now. We just started up. I know this is the slow time of the year, but minicamps, they're exciting. Like, we posted our podcast last night. There's some things to take away from stuff that we see, but we'll get a lot out of training camp, and that's not for, what, another 6 weeks after these 3 days or something like that?
Exactly.
All right, we've got Anthony who's going to jump in here and speak. Anthony, what's going on, bro?
Not much. How about you guys?
Man, we're chilling. How about yourself?
Oh, good, good. It was just nice to see some meaningful photos today rather than OTAs and stuff like that.
Did you go crazy, Anthony, when you saw Kadarius Toney making a catch and a little curl wrap?
Yeah, I did. I did go crazy. And also, rest in peace, Jim Fassell. That was sad news today, man.
Yeah. 71 years old, man. He's the first coach that I remember. You know, Dan, I think you tweeted something about that. We're at that age where Jim Fassell was the first coach that I remember. But yeah, that's unfortunate. Too young.
Yeah, exactly.
And just in case you want to I don't know. I don't want to say impressed, but just so you know, it's Jim Fassell, not Jim Fassell. Just for future reference. Not
oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't grow up with him. My first coach was Coughlin.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Where are you from, Anthony?
Canada.
Canada.
You don't remember? Yeah, I sense the accent.
Really?
That's why I'm the better.
I try to hide it, man.
See, that's why I'm the better Pussy Banter co-host, Anthony, because I remembered you were from Canada. Nick did not. Keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind, please.
Yeah, please, Nick and his mind. Nick and his disgusting diet.
Me and my
well, everybody knows about that.
All right. So it's the it's the middle of the off season. It's dead. Let's play a little game. I want percentages on the chances that these guys have to make the roster. If you guys are okay with that.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I like games.
Okay, let's go with Carter Coughlin.
Carter Coughlin, for me, I'm going to say like 80%.
I will go Carter Coughlin 60%.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, yeah, that was a bit low. Interesting. Now I'm assuming 80% at inside linebacker, probably, right? Not edge.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's just collective. It's whatever they want to use him as. I mean, I think he has a better chance at inside linebacker because it's a weaker position right now. But to me, it doesn't really matter regardless.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that's fair, too.
Cam Brown.
For me, that's probably around like 90%.
Yeah, I'll go 75%.
Okay. O'Shane Zimenez.
Ooh, okay. I like this one. For O'Shane, I'm gonna say 85%. It's more than Carter Coughlin. See, but then I go and I think about it. And I'm trying to think of O'Shane. I don't have my computer in front of me. His value on special teams, I don't know if it was as high as what they may value from Cam Brown. And also with the special teams thing, I mean, they only reserve a few spots for special teams. And Nate Ebner, he's not totally not on this roster. Like right now, he's not there, but because he's trying out for the rugby team. So that could all change whenever that all blows over. So I think we should also keep that in mind for just special team spots.
Yeah, for sure. Gary Brightwell.
So I just think he's going to be a practice squad guy. So, I mean, like, are we counting that as on the roster? I'm going to say no. I think.
Let's say Final 53.
Yeah. Okay. So Final 53, I'm going to say then 10, 15%.
Okay. Sam Beal.
I'll go with 10%, by the way, for Brightwell.
Okay.
Beal's an interesting one. I'm going to say 20%, 20 to 25% for Sam Beal. I think there's a chance he can, but he just has an uphill battle because, I mean, we don't really know that much about him. But what if he actually has a great camp and he fully buys in and all that kind of stuff? So I'll go with like 20, 25.
All right.
I'll go 5% for Beal.
Five?
Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty on that low end, too, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
you know, he didn't show up to OTAs. Like, Beal, I don't know.
In my mind, the issue with Beal is that he's a year behind in learning the system, and I think that's going to be the biggest issue for him. That spot's going to probably come down to somebody like him or Yiadom, in my mind, and Yiadom has that advantage from playing in that system one extra year. So that, to me, is the big difference there, just that extra year in the system.
Yeah, I'd say so, too. And then I got two more here. Rodarius Williams.
Okay, so for Rodarius, I'm going to say 40% chance that he'll be on the roster.
I'm going to go 10% there. I just don't think that. I think there's just too much depth at the cornerback position.
Interesting. And RJ McIntosh.
Ooh, that's where. Okay, so for RJ, for me, I'm going to say 20%.
Yeah, I'll go 10 again here, 1 in 10 shot. I just, again, think there's just too much depth there at the position.
Yeah, he's good, though. It'll be sad to see him go, but I thought so, too, to be honest with you.
Yep.
They really are super deep. They're deeper. They're incredibly deep at corner, obviously, but they're also, you know, pretty damn deep on the defensive line. Those are two positions they're super deep at.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that – oh, and then also, actually, one more, sorry. Pettis and John Ross.
Okay, so for Dante Pettis, for me, I'm going to say like 10%, maybe even less. And then John Ross, I would say, is probably a little bit more like 40%.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I think I'll go – that's tough, that one, in my mind. I'm not Ross exactly sure.
To be honest, Ross might even be a little bit more, but I mean, they might really, really value his speed. But I mean, the addition of Kadarius Toney, those are two totally different players. But Ross is also very, very mistake prone. The Giants already have a pretty mistake prone skill position player that they rely heavily on.
Yeah, I don't know. I think one of them will make it, but I'm just I just don't know which one will make it. If I would choose Pettis just because of ball security. I know Ross has had a ton of drops over the past few years. So,
yeah, Ross does, man. He really does. It's really frustrating. I might go with Ross, though, just because of the game-breaking speed, the pedigree, and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, it's a deep position group, though. I mean, the Giants shouldn't have to, hopefully, knock on wood, injuries don't happen, rely on either of those guys too much, and they could be more bit role players.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to play a little game today. So.
Oh, sounds great, Anthony. Thank you so much for calling in and everything.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys' time. Take care.
Take care of yourself, bud. All righty. So now we're going to have Stan McCune. What's going on, bro?
You are. Yo, what's up, guys?
Nothing, man. We're just chilling. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here watching the Sixers take it to the Hawks.
Oh, what's the score right now?
Last I checked, the Sixers were up by like 20 in like the first quarter. So I just stepped away for a second, so I don't know what the actual score is right now. But I'm a Nets fan, so I've been a Nets fan my whole life. I'm a New Jersey Nets fan, and I live in Greenville, South Carolina, so I would love for them to play the Hawks. So I'm a big Hawks fan in this series because I would absolutely be driving down to Atlanta to see that series if that happened. But we'll see. We'll see.
What jersey would you be repping at the stadium?
Ooh. Well, if my Stephon Marbury jersey hadn't been stolen from me, that would be it.
Who stole your Stephon Marbury jersey?
Someone? Okay. Oh, man. That's a story. So
we have time.
When I bought my first house, so there's a thing where, like, criminals will, like, wait for people to move into a house, and when they first move in, they'll break in and steal their stuff. I bought my first house, and I had, like, nothing. I was, like, super poor, could barely buy a house, and I got broken into, and literally there was nothing for them to steal, and so they started going through my clothes, and they stole all my sports stuff that, you know, that was out there. So they stole a few jerseys from me.
That is such a unique story, Stan, that, like, a criminal actually plotted and planned and put so much thought probably into breaking into your home. And there was nothing there, so he's like, you know what? I like Stephon Marbury, and he snatched a Marbury jersey. That's kind of hilarious in a depressing way.
They took my white chocolate jersey, too, which really, really angered me.
Oh, that's a rough one to hear, man. White chocolate, he was exciting.
Yeah, my Sacramento white chocolate jersey. I was proud of that one, too. But anyway, yeah, so that would be it. But, you know, it's been some dark times. Like, I'm not about to wear, like, a Jason Kidd jersey. Like, that dude turned on the organization. So, like, I don't even have a current jersey of a current player on the team.
Who would you prefer from the three?
I've got to go Durant. I used to not like Kyrie, but I've come around to him. I kind of understand him now. I feel like a little bit better. Like, I get the personality quirks. He's kind of like an Odell type of guy, but like works his tail off when he's out there. He is working on both sides of the court. So I appreciate that. His personality, I don't always get. But Durant, like, just everything he does is top notch. So I'd have to go with him.
Nice. Man. We'll see if that ends up happening.
Yeah, I hope. But Nick, man, I gotta ask this.
What's up? What's up?
Blue Moon.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That was the one you chose to go to?
Well, I was in Denver, so that's the only one that I knew of in Denver. My girlfriend like Blue Moon.
How many oranges did y'all put in those beers that you were drinking?
So it was we were going to a Rockies game, and the Blue Moon isn't that too far away from the Rockies stadium. It's like an 8-hour drive. So we were just like, all right, we'll go there for a quick beer, get wings, and then just go to the Rockies game. So we only had one beer, and honestly, I didn't see an orange. I there was no orange in her drink. I took a sip of the drink, and I was like, oh, okay, this stuff's pretty good. I like it, whatever. And then I just disregarded it, ate the wings, and then we left. But yeah, no orange. So is Blue Moon, is that like a frowned upon beer?
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. And now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Well, let me say it this way. One time I was with a group and someone got a beer and the waitress described it as a beer, a fruity beer that girls mostly get. That was the way the waitress, she like insulted the dude that got it.
Wow.
I don't think that's totally fair, but yeah, it does normally have the orange in it. So that's,
yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that like all over like pop culture and, you know, in ads and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that. But
what brewery? Because I mean, I'm not really a beer guy. What brewery would you suggest, Stan? Because you came at it. I feel like you came at the Blue Moon, me going there with a little bit of contempt.
So I don't know about Denver. I got to be honest. But if y'all come down here to Greenville, hit me up. I follow you guys on everything, and I've got the same dorky profile pic on pretty much everything. So I am about an hour away from Asheville, which has a ton of breweries, and I'd probably go with Sierra Nevada. That's probably the one that I would hit up. But we also have a lot of – what's that?
I said I used to live in North Carolina, and I'd actually had a buddy from Asheville. So, and I have a good friend who lives in Statesville. So, I mean, I may find myself there just randomly at some time, and I'm going to take you up on that.
Yeah.
We're going a bit off the rails here, by the way. But I have to cut in real quick to say this, because in my home right now, I just heard someone come in that I wasn't expecting to come in. But now I understand. Now I know that person was supposed to be coming in, and I thought that my house was getting broken into. Like, what happened to you?
Oh, my gosh.
So, no.
Hi, just Stephon Marbury jerseys.
It was just somebody coming home earlier than I expected. So we're all good here on this front. But, woo.
All right. That's
this
good.
Has turned into a wild night on the locker room, Matt.
All right, I'll try to rein it in. But just to be clear, if you guys come down this area, I know Dan, you like to hike. Nick, I guess you do too. We got great hiking spots, and we always get a beer afterwards. So just throwing that out there. Hit me up.
Without a doubt.
We'll do so.
All right, let's talk Giants. What is a position group that you think might surprise us positively? And how?
Okay. Position group that might surprise us positively and how?
During the season, you know what? Of course.
The one that we all hope is going to be the offensive line. And as we've said on yesterday's podcast and on plenty of other podcasts, there's definitely avenues to where that can definitely certainly happen. Do definitely and certainly. But I don't want to just go with that because I feel like it's going to be a cop-out answer. So I'm going to go a little bit outside of the box here. And I'm going to say the tight ends. I'm going to say if there's a healthy Kyle Rudolph, I think that could be a significant upgrade to what Evan Ingram was going to do in the role that Jason Garrett wanted Evan Ingram to do, the role that Jason Witten had a Hall of Fame career with. I think Kyle Rudolph is better set to do that. And I still think we're going to see 12 personnel, and I hope to see a little bit more creativity with using Evan Ingram in space and getting him a little bit off the line of scrimmage and maybe even blinding him out in the slot, not all that often since we have all these other weapons, but just using his athletic ability, as I said on the podcast that dropped earlier today.
Can you actually repeat the question real quick, just because I was checking to make sure my house wasn't getting robbed when you asked it?
Yeah, just a position group that that you think might surprise us positively
in the 2021 season.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a great question, actually. I'm actually going to go with Edge. I think Edge is the position that's going to surprise people. Yeah, we added some talent there, so there's some expectations. But I think for the most part, people aren't expecting much. And I think with a combination of the system that really makes it Edge-friendly, in my opinion, and the talent they added with Aziz Ojulari, what we're seeing so far on the comeback from Lorenzo Carter, potentially Shane is imminent, maybe not, maybe Ellerson Smith. I think that's Edge group, and Adenabo, too, who I really actually like. I think this Edge group is going to surprise people for sure.
All right. Have you guys seen the preseason schedule yet? I know that just got released.
I think I briefly saw it. I don't know it by heart, though.
Yeah, same here.
Okay. So Jets and Browns and Patriots. So we got three preseason games. Do you guys think it's going to be like in the past where the next to last one is the one where we see the most starters? Have you guys heard anything about that?
I've heard nothing about that, but that's what I would assume would happen. The Browns game will probably be the default, like, third game, and then that last game will be just for, like, the final roster spots, have people put tape out there, and then you gracefully release them, and hopefully they can pursue opportunities elsewhere, and then the Giants will bring in guys who are cut from other teams that they, like, value more than the guys that they have here.
Okay, all right. Who are you going to be watching the most during those games?
Oof, who am I going to be on the broadcast angle, which is
yeah, from the broadcast. What is live? While you're watching it live, what where's your eye going to be?
Offensive line on offense, I would say. And then obviously when first team is out there, it's going to be on guys like Kenny Golladay and all those, you know, new weapons that we have. And then for defense, I just kind of want to see the young guys, which is a lot of the defense. I want to see Adoree Jackson. I want to see how he's going to be able to kind of combat that negative 2020 season that he had with the Titans, and then just all the rookies. I'm always, you know, all in on the rookies. I'm all in on the undrafted guys all the time. And those are like some of my favorite guys to kind of evaluate because there's so much going on in those kids' brains, and you just have to wonder, man, like, this is the moment where you have to prove yourself. And if they can make one, like, really good play and just kind of show one thing to the coaching staff that could help secure them a roster spot.
Yeah, I think Nick nailed it on that one. I feel the same way.
Okay, cool. Well, Dan, just blink twice if there's anything wrong over there.
no, we're all good here.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Keep coming out with the great content. We'll catch you guys later.
Awesome. All right, thanks a lot, man.
And we got one more, and it's Brian. Brian, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm hanging out, dude.
What's up, Brian?
I had a couple questions. The first one is with Kadarius Toney. I was just wondering, you know, at what point you guys start to get concerned. It seems like there's always something, maybe that we have a temperamental player here with the cleat issue, then no OTAs, and he signed, I think, like during one of the OTAs, and now today he left, I think, midway through practice or later on in practice. So just curious as to your opinions if this is potentially a temperamental guy we have on our hands. I know even in college there were some injury concerns too, so maybe if you could break that down.
Yeah, so from an injury standpoint, I'm not like sure why he left the practice today. That's definitely something that I think has concerned both myself and Dan, just because he is – not even just because he's a little bit undersized, but just dating back to his time at Florida, he did deal with injuries, and that's always something that's going to crop up, even though injuries can be fluky at times. But from a temperament standpoint, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a negative – thing at this point. I'm not concerned at this point, just because I did hear that he wasn't at that one voluntary practice, but then I saw like a report that he was in the building. He just wasn't on the field when the media was present, and I just didn't know how to like sift through that right now. So as of right now, I'm not going to say that I'm concerned.
Yeah, my level of concern is very low at the moment. My bigger concern is that I think his style of play, the way he runs with the football in his hands, I think that could lead to injuries, to be completely honest with you, at the next level. That's my bigger issue when it comes to Kadarius Toney as far as the off-field stuff. And, you know, like Judge said, he was there. He just wasn't practicing. And honestly, you know, there wasn't much to take away from those early practices anyway. So to me, it's not a major concern level for me just yet. Until when they get to training camp, if it remains the case, then that might be different.
Okay, fair. And then my second question was – with Rob Sale. I know he's the O-line coach now. I don't know a lot about his background, and I know we're putting a lot of stock in our O-line, hopefully turning it around. Is there anything you guys know about him that gives you confidence that he might be the guy? I know him and Joe Judge are pretty tight, but anything in specific that you think he could be the guy, whereas we didn't necessarily have those coaches in the room last year?
Yeah, for Rob Sale, I mean, I trust Joe Judge's evaluation on him. This is a handpicked guy, and he speaks highly on his teaching ability and all the stuff that we loved about Joe Judge when he kind of brought in this entire coaching staff about how they're all teachers and not just coaches. But he developed two offensive linemen at Louisiana that ended up coming into the league in 2020 and being really solid players, one for Pittsburgh and another for the Miami Dolphins. And Louisiana Lafayette is not a powerhouse school. They're not getting 4 to 5 star guys. They're getting 2-star, 3-star recruits. And he was able to develop them to a point to where both Pittsburgh and Miami wanted to draft their guys. And then in year one, from everything that I heard, I didn't grind the film for the Dolphins or the Steelers, those players held up well, and that's Robert Hunt and Kevin Dotson. So I do like that, and he's also just been around for a while. I've heard people talk about how he did a really good job at Arizona State. I want to say he was only there briefly. He goes back to Georgia as well. So it just seems like a lot of people are speaking highly of him, and sometimes, you know, that can be, I don't want to say hearsay, but sometimes you want to take that with a grain of salt. But from everything that I've heard about Rob Sale, it's I have a much better feeling heading into this season than whatever the heck the Giants dealt with last year with the offensive line, with the turmoil that ended up happening, and then bringing in Di Guglielmo towards the end of the year, which was just a stopgap situation. I think just having a stable situation, and I've said this before, should be good for this young offensive line.
Yeah, I would concur. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Colombo, we were also excited about him, let's be honest, but a lot of that was just based on the performance of that Dallas offensive line, which had a lot of talent. I feel like it's the opposite scenario here, where this guy's getting the most out of lesser talent, not big name recruits, guys who he's turning into NFL players, NFL draft picks that are acclimating pretty fast at the next level. And to me, that's probably the reason I think it's fair to be a little bit more optimistic about what they have in this season versus last one with Colombo.
Yeah, and I remember that too, man. Like, we were high on Colombo, but like you said, dude, it was more because of that talent. But I'm not even saying that Mark Colombo can't coach the offensive line. That seems just to be like a personality bout between him and Joe Judge as well.
I was going to say, he kind of took over what Callahan was building on that line in the first place, right?
Right.
Colombo?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. Do you see any other coaches outside of Garrett that might have issues on our coaching staff this year, or just Jason Garrett potentially being the guy?
I mean, there's really no way for me to actually, like, no, I'm not in the building, so I don't want to, like, be disingenuous. Okay. It doesn't seem like it, because this is Joe Judge's staff and he brought them in, but these are also guys who may have different visions, and heads can always butt, and that usually happens when your team sucks. So if the Giants end up coming out of the gate successful, I don't really envision that happening. But also, I think Burn Burns today, he actually ended up having a day.
Did you see that? Yeah,
but I think everything's okay with that. But just because we're talking about
the situation there,
very scary situation. But I just wanted to acknowledge, and I heard everything's okay as of right now. But let's hope that continues.
Well, I appreciate it, guys, and I hope that this O-line comes along, because I still think that our season for the last 10 years and this year hinges on that line finally coming together. So hopefully, this is the time.
Yeah, Brian. I mean, same here, bro. I mean, it would be awesome if that offensive line comes together. You know, Jason Garrett, Daniel Jones, that marriage ends up working. We could be looking at some good quality football.
Amen. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, man. Take care of yourself. All righty, and that's the last of our speaker requests. So if anybody wants to jump in real quick, let me know. If not, we're going to head on out of here. Alrighty, Dan's going to finish up his CBS draft. Best of luck on that mock draft. Everybody, please follow us on all of our social media platforms. Check out our YouTube page. We're going to be dropping some more off-season content. It's been a little bit of a lull there, but we're going to be getting back to that. We appreciate all your support. Please continue to leave the iTunes reviews. Those are awesome. And thank you for everything. Everybody, take care now. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night.